me just talk a little bit about how I'm going to talk about the African American acculturation scale, which was a small study we did in Charlotte, North Carolina, and how the project got started was I had been working with the African American community in Chicago, but I moved to Charlotte and recognized I was going to need to sort of relearn a new community, and this was a possible mechanism was to do this survey with the African American community. So that's what this is about. And I'd like to thank my collaborators. Rachel Seymour is actually here in the audience, and my doctoral student, Melanie Rouse, who we can't exist without our doctoral students who help do all kinds of fun things with data. Let me talk just a little bit about defining acculturation, which in this case I'm using as being the socialization process that members of one cultural group adopt the beliefs and behaviors of another cultural group. And typically we're usually thinking about minority groups who are adopting the dominant culture. And so in this case we would think of that as being white American culture. And for most ethnic and minority groups, the reason we're interested in it as a public health issue is that acculturation has been associated with actually poorer health behaviors in terms of increased alcohol consumption, eating more fatty foods, being more sedentary. But predominantly, when we think of these ethnic and minority groups, we're talking about immigrant groups. So people who come to America, and over time, as they sort of get used to McDonald's and various things, they tend to adopt some of the not-so-healthy behaviors that some of us have. And in particular, among these different groups, even when we look at Asians, they tend to be, they're not heterogeneous. There are Vietnamese and Koreans and Japanese and Chinese, and of course, they're going to have different cultures, different rates of acculturation, and they're going to adopt different behaviors. Well, much of the same thing actually applies to African Americans, even though they're not an immigrant group. But the association between health behaviors and acculturation is quite different. For many African Americans, as they move from more traditional Black or African American culture to a dominant white culture, in some cases they actually adopt healthier behaviors, such as lower rates of tobacco use. It's also been shown that they would have better knowledge about HIV and AIDS transmission. But that doesn't hold true all the time. It can also be that African Americans who are more traditionally oriented will tend to eat fewer fruits and vegetables and eat a more high-fat diet. And they also, interestingly enough, are what's termed inconsistent practitioners of breast self-exam, meaning that sometimes they actually tend to overdo breast self-exam, which can give them a false sense of security into thinking they don't need a mammogram. Now, this is important because one of the reasons that we like to look at acculturation is we have the belief that doing more culture-based interventions would make our health behavior change interventions be more salient and effective in different racial and ethnic groups. So if we don't measure culture and acculturation properly, we're going to get these intervention components off kilter. So the predominant way that we measure acculturation is actually to measure the culture of the group of interest. Not unlike how we often tend to measure health in our country, what we really measure is absence of disease. In this case, we measure culture to look at acculturation. And in general, the more aligned with the traditional culture, then the less acculturated you are, which is usually how we measure this. And for African Americans, the predominant measure has been this African American acculturation scale. And this was developed by Landrine and Klonoff in 1994. So it's been around about 10 or 15 years. Now, this scale, the original version of the scale, has 74 items, and they are statements, and people respond as being either strongly agree or too strongly disagree on a scale from 1 to 7. And these 74 items make up 8 different subscales, which are related to religious beliefs and practices, family structure, sort of traditional socialization, some sort of childhood practices and things, traditional African-American foods, a preference for black or African-American cultural things, attitudes about interracial things, such as should blacks and whites marry and so forth, do you want to have more white friends, etc., various superstitions, and then health beliefs and practices. And the scale was originally developed and tested with a sample of actually African Americans and whites who were all predominantly from the West Coast. And one of the underlying assumptions of this measure is that, in fact, culture is something that should transcend age, gender, and socioeconomic status. And over time, 74 items can be a bit long for some people. The developers also created a shorter form of the scale, and then they went on to create a revised form, which is called the AASR in 2000. And what they wound up happening was they threw out any of the items that participants had considered to be offensive or racist. And so what they had left were some 47 items, and again, these psychometrically loaded into 8 subscales, although the subscales are not directly consistent with the 8 subscales from the original scale. Well, when we looked at using this African-American acculturation scale, we were sort of debating about which version of the scale to use in our study. We were struck by the fact that, one, neither of these scales had ever been tested on a Southern African-American sample. And yet a lot of the items that we saw that had been removed from the original version of the scale seemed to me to be pretty Southern in origin. And admittedly, I'm new to the South, but a lot of things like the traditional foods and some of the practices seem to be very Southern in nature. But also the samples that had originally been used to test the scale were quite young, with the average age of about 28 to 33. So we were interested in sort of looking at whether or not if we sort of redid this scale in a Southern sample and we included a significant number of older adults, if we would find some age and sort of regional differences. So that's really what we were about. So we attempted to compare the original scale and the revised version of the scale in an older sample to sort of revalidate these and see if some of those original assumptions held up. And we had a couple of hypotheses. One is that we thought the older adults would be more traditionally oriented than the younger adults, as they would have had more experiences with racism and Jim Crow laws and school desegregation and so forth. Two, we thought this would be a lot more apparent on the original version of the scale than on the revised version, because a lot of those items we thought were going to pertain to this sample, of course, had been dropped. Three, that we thought, at least for our sample, that original scale was going to hold up a lot better, and that we were going to see problems in the revised version of the scale because all of these items had been dropped. And lastly, we thought that our sample was going to be more traditionally oriented. People from the South would find this scale to be more traditionally oriented. All right. So what we did was we recruited two different venues. We were looking for people who self-identified as black or African American, and we went to a large, the AME Zion Church District, and we also recruited through UNC Charlotte anyone who was 25 or older and African American, either faculty, staff, or students. And the church received $2,000 scholarships, and university participants actually received individual gift cards to Target or Harris Teeter, a grocery store, that kind of thing. And about two-thirds of our participants were through the faith-based community, and one-third was through the university. All the participants completed an anonymous paper-based survey. We used the original 74 items, and then we scored it for either of the two scales and the subscales. They also answered various demographic items and some questions about their health status, and we collected the data over about a period of a year. So what we did was we got all the data, we went ahead, we calculated the scores for the original version of the scale, and then we did it again for the revised version. We compared the means of those two scales based on age, and we used MANOVA and t-tests, and then we also conducted reliability analyses, and then we looked at some regional differences as well. So here's what our sample looked like. We had an overall sample of 273 participants. The average age was 47, which is about 14 to 20 years older than any of the previous samples had been. About 3/4 female, 41% married, 30% were never married. Obviously, some of those were going to be the younger people. And Charlotte has a very large black middle class and has had for a long time. About 70% of people own their own home. In terms of income, about 30% earned less than $30,000. About half earned between $30,000 and $70,000, and 23% earned more than $70,000. And we also had a somewhat educated population. About 43% had taken some college classes or had a two-year degree. 22% had a college degree, and 17% actually had a graduate degree. And the rest had a high school degree or less. And Charlotte, while it's a fairly integrated city, about 34% report that they still live in a predominantly African-American neighborhood. And just for some comparison purposes, the Charlotte population is about one-third African-American, about 9% Hispanic, about 5% other, and the rest are non-Hispanic whites. All right, so this table shows the mean scores for the original scale by age. And these are the eight subscales, and then you can see the total scale at the end. The range was from about 126 to 475 in terms of the total scale. And as you can see, in all cases, the older adults were more traditionally oriented. They had higher scores than the younger people did. And also, several of the subscales had significant differences in terms of the means. And in particular, some of the subscales that we had hypothesized about the food and the socialization sort of childhood experiences. The subscales that are in light blue indicate that the Cronbach alphas for those subscales were a little less than 0.7, which is usually the cut point we like to see for something having good internal consistency. Now, if you just did this scale in the sample and just did a Cronbach alpha on overall, what you would see is for the total scale, the Cronbach alpha is a 0.94. Looks perfectly fine. And in fact, even when you look at the age groups, for the older adults, it's 0.9, and for the younger adults, 0.95. So just looking at the overall scale doesn't really sort of indicate that there might be some difficulties. Now, if we look at the revised scale, so here you can see what I've done is you can compare the means, and also I've given you the Cronbach alphas. So here again, we can still see that the means are greater in the over 50 age group, so they are more traditionally oriented, even on this scale. But now we can see that some of these subscales, and this is even after some of these, you know, sort of problematic items have been deleted, we start to see significantly lower internal consistency, and in particular in the older adults. So that was sort of confirmed what we thought would happen. And then we tried to do some regional analyses, thinking that Charlotte was probably in the Deep South. Of course, this is, you know, my idea of what the Deep South is, mind you. And we, right, and we had asked people what state they had been born and raised in, essentially where they went to school. and we coded people for anybody who was born and raised in Virginia, going on down the eastern seaboard there through Georgia, Alabama, Florida, and Louisiana. They were all sort of the Deep South. And we looked at those people, and on the original scale, they were not significantly different from people who weren't born in the Deep South, although they were a little bit on the revised scale. Thanks, Karen. Now, when we just looked at people who said, I've spent my entire life in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area, all of a sudden now we see significant differences. But unfortunately, and bizarrely, they were not in the right direction. This was because the Charlotte-Mecklenburg people actually were more acculturated, not less, as we had thought. So it's always important to really look at those numbers carefully. But so that was sort of interesting. We were not entirely sure what to make of that, although Charlotte is considered the New South, so possibly there's a difference between the Deep South and the New South. And what was sort of interesting about some of these subscales is the things that people were more acculturated about were attitudes related to interracial issues, family practices, and health beliefs. Charlotteans did, in fact, remain more traditionally oriented around food and some of those childhood practices. So some things changed and some things did not. So while we did find support for each of our hypotheses, in fact, there were age differences in the scale. The original scale did turn out to be more reliable than the revised version. And while there were regional differences that seemed to be unique to Charlotte, they were not what we had expected. So let me talk about a couple of limitations that might explain a few things. One is that in the very original version of the scale, of course, they needed to make sure that what they were measuring was, in fact, African-American culture, and they did that by including whites. Well, we did not include whites, and in fact, it's entirely possible that some of these things measure Southern things, not necessarily African-American things or just African-American things. And in particular, around food, everybody in the South eats grits and ham hocks and all these kinds of things. That doesn't seem to be particularly an African-American thing if you're from there. It could be also that, you know, two-thirds of our sample was recruited from a faith-based organization. Now, I will say that most of the African-Americans in Charlotte all seem to go to black churches. And so I'm not necessarily sure that that influenced our results, although it could have been that we chose a particular denomination that may be more conservative or less conservative, and that may have influenced things. And lastly, Charlotte has about 6 historically black colleges or universities. And while we asked people what their educational level was, we didn't ask them whether or not they went to a historically black college. And the reason I bring this up is many of these schools are in some ways religious oriented, but it's entirely possible that people can go on to get greater education but stay within their same cultural group and in fact reinforce a lot of their cultural beliefs. And so that while we often think that people getting more education would make them more acculturated, that may not be the case here if people in fact had gone to a historically black college, which unfortunately we didn't ask about, but we'll be smarter next time. So in conclusion, I hope I still have a minute left. We would recommend that you use the revised scale with caution with older adults or people from the South. That it's probably a good idea, particularly if you're going to use this acculturation scale and look at it in terms of health behaviors, to really examine which aspect of the culture you think is going to be related to these health behaviors and sort of look at the individual subscales. I personally think African-American culture is one of the most dynamic cultures in our society, and particularly for younger people. And this scale does not measure hip-hop and rap and all kinds of other things that go on, and certainly a lot of urban areas, and we see this in Charlotte as well. I also think that a lot of, for older adults, a lot of their experience about culture is going to be related to their historical and social context. And Charlotte has a very interesting sort of historical experience with busing and segregation and so forth. And a lot of the older adults, I suspect, remember that. And that may influence the responses they gave. But probably most importantly is, if we had not looked at the reliability of those subscales, we would think everything was just fine and dandy. And not a good idea, and I know that often there's a lot of pressure to use existing instruments when we do research. And NIH likes to see you using existing instruments. Don't recreate the wheel. But there can be problems. So. And also, we found that a lot of their underlying assumptions did not pan out for our sample. In fact, there are a lot. There's also socioeconomic differences with the scale for our group. I would like to thank Cozy Watkins, who was our contact at AME Zion, and the University of North Carolina at Charlotte helped to fund this study. And I bet I've run out of time, and we'll do questions later. Thanks.